I really, really appreciate what we heard this morning. We can walk in victory. There are defeats that come in our life, but we can walk in victory. When we are defeated, then we need to come back to the Master, make it correct, and walk on. Walking in victory. Well, my topic this morning is, what does Jesus supply for his church? What does he do for his church? And I'd like to break it up into three parts. What he has done, what he is doing, and what he will one day do. Now, this is by no means a complete list, and I just hope it's enough to bless us in our walk today. Because God said he's going through the ceaseless ages of eternity, he's going to show the wisdom of his grace, the abundance of his grace that he extended to us. So what I tell you just in an hour this morning, go with me to Romans 15. The riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. Romans 15 and verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to look just a bit at verse 3 there. For even Christ pleased not himself, but he took upon on himself our reproaches. The reproaches of them that reproached thee. You might want to keep your hand here. We'll be coming back. But go to Luke chapter 6. Jesus took our reproach. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. When you are reproached, Jesus took that reproach. Go to 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4 and verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Here again, suffering reproach for his name. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Go to Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, without the camp. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the gate, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Back to Romans 15. For even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Each time you're reproached, Christ is as well. The devil's giving his distraction, isn't he? Well, let's go to verse 4. In verse 4, it says, these things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. The scriptures were left on record for us. Christ left the scriptures on record for us that we could be comforted, that we could learn. We can learn from the past. The record of the past is there to help us so we can have understanding. Well, you and I can see how he worked in the past. We can know how he will work in the present. We can be assured what he will work today. Go with me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Go to verse 2 there. We have a whole list. Jesus is the Lord, is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength. It's who, the person who I can trust in. He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. That's who Jesus is. Because he is, I will call on him. Because he is, I have the privilege to call on him. Because he is, I do call on him. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress, my deliverer. Go to Acts 4. What has Jesus done? What has he done for his church? Acts 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took counsel of them that they had been with Jesus. In verse 10, we see that Jesus has provided for wholeness. In verse 12, he has provided salvation. In verse 13, he has provided identity. Who am I? I am in Christ. Verse 18 to 20, Jesus gives us purpose, the purpose for which we are here. Go to Hebrews 12. In verse 1, what has he done for the church? Wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Jesus was the author of our salvation, but he's not only the author, he's also the provider, the finisher of our salvation. As we walk with him, he's going to see us through. That's what he said. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus has given us as a church, he's given us an inheritance. You know, it's a nice thing when dad and mom can hand an inheritance to their children. A lot of times we think of inheritance as money, property, whatever, but most of our parents have handed us a much greater inheritance by their lives of faith than what we can ever recognize. We live our faith so confidently because they handed it to us that way. Many struggle with that confidence, that inheritance that they received of Jesus. We are secure in his ability to provide freedom to live, to serve. We have an inheritance. Verse 11 there, Jesus gives us an inheritance. In verse 12, Jesus provides for us that we can be to the praise of his glory. That inheritance, what an inheritance, to be to the praise of his glory. In verse 13, then it talks about the fact that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what Orlando talked about this morning, being led by the Spirit. You and I, in giving our lives to Christ, we are led by the Spirit. We are given the inheritance of the Spirit. But here it says that is the earnest of our inheritance. I don't know how to say this. I remember one time when my folks gave us some money, and I told them thank you. That was part of my inheritance, and I thanked them for that. And Mom said, "But there's more to come." And that's sort of the way this is. We have received the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And if you recognize and understand the blessing that is to you, then try to imagine what's yet to come. That's only the earnest. When you go to buy a piece of property, you put down earnest money. Now, you may put down $1,000 to hold a $500,000 place. But that's only the earnest money. And the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. Let that sink into your hearts. We have so much that the Holy Spirit does for us, and yet that's only the beginning of what He has promised. Well, what is Jesus doing today? That is what He has done. What is He doing today? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 10. And verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. As in the days of old, God is faithful to measure out my temptations, my tests, my trials, my struggles. God measures those out. Now, I'm not tempted by God, but He monitors what He allows Satan to bring into my life, and He says, no, that's too much. No, that's okay. That should be a blessing to us when you face a temptation, knowing that God has said He can bear it. He can handle it. Some people have used this scripture, I think, wrongly, where they say, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. And they say, well, I fell, that's God's fault. No, that's not God's fault when you and I fall. But as Satan brings the test, God provides for our escape, if you and I want to escape. There are times when we enjoy the pleasure of sin rather than desiring to escape. But God has provided for our escape. Now, go to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 36. We were here already this morning, and I appreciated that. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's what he's doing for us today. In verse 26, the Spirit whom we receive through the inheritance makes intercession for us. The Spirit helps our infirmities. He's making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In verse 34, Christ also himself makes intercession. It is Christ that died who also makes intercession for us. And then 36 and 37, we are killed, we may be killed, but yet we are more than conquerors. Go with me to Acts 7. Acts 7 and verse 54. Stephen has just been called on the carpet, as it were, for his faith. And he has just preached a very clear message. It's a very denouncing message. And at the end of it, in verse 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your father did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I'd like you to go with me this morning in your imagination, in my imagination maybe, and picture a scene in the throne room. Now, when I tell my grandchildren stories, I tell them you need to shut your eyes so your imagination, you won't be distracted by what's out there. You won't be distracted by what somebody in front of you is doing. I tell them you ought to shut your eyes and just let God take your imagination and picture what you see. And I'd like you to try to picture this story right here this morning of Stephen. But I would like you to picture it in the throne room. There we see God sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, powerful. And there beside it says, is Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. And they're there watching down what's going on earth. And they see Stephen preaching this powerful sermon. And they know what's going to happen, but they're watching what's happening. And suddenly they begin to rush out on Stephen and gnash on him with their teeth. Imagine the scene. I've never seen anybody that angry. But as that begins to happen, you see Jesus slide forward and say, "Father." And Jesus says, God just says, "Just wait." And as they begin to throw stones, Jesus said, "But Father, I know what that's like." He said, "Just wait." And finally, Jesus is standing beside the throne there. He's waiting. He's standing there. And Stephen looks up and Jesus opens so he can see him. And God, as it were, he puts his hand on his shoulder and Jesus is thinking about the 10,000 angels. The 10,000 angels that I could send down God said, just wait. Just wait. Jesus is standing there and he feels the scars. He feels the lashes on the back and he sees them stoning Stephen. And he's just stepping forward. But Father, I know what that's like. Just wait. Finally, it comes to the place where Stephen is stoned and he finally falls on the ground and he says, Father, forgive them. And God says, now. And Jesus says, welcome home, Stephen. Welcome home. So much like the Master, with a heart so true, he prayed, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus did for you and I as well. Jesus stands interceding for you and I every day. And I just imagine sometimes when the temptations are almost more than we can bear, Jesus is standing there saying, but Father, I know what that's like. I've been there. I know what that's like. There he intercedes for us to the Father. Sometimes when we face our temptations, we don't think about what Jesus is doing. We don't think about what he's going through. We don't think about the scars. We don't think about the whiplashes. But there he is, interceding for us, even in our ignorance. Well, what is he going to do one day for the church? Go with me to John 14. Very familiar scripture. What is he going to do one day? John 14. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So much. So much that he has done for us. So little we understand. So much he's going to tell us all through the ceaseless ages of eternity, the grace that we receive because of Jesus Christ. Today he intercedes for us. Today he's preparing a place. But one day he's going to come again. One day God's going to look down and he's going to say, like he did in Noah's day, he's going to say, it's enough. It's enough. And there we're going to see Jesus break the clouds. He's going to say, welcome home. To those that don't know him, those that aren't living for him, he's going to say, depart, because I never knew you. But to those that stand by Christ, that he says, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine, he's going to say, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's provided for you and I. May the Lord add his blessing.